Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Our second last edition of the year, I think. Is that right? Well, Duck will be off as soon as the grand final's done anyway, so it will be our second last show. Of course, it's exclusive to the listener app as always. And as always, on a Wednesday afternoon, we have the regulars here with me. G'day, Duck.
G'day, guys. Good to be here again. Looking forward to, what's going to be a very quiet week, very unusual week for us leading in. And we've had a bit of good weather, so the birds are chirping and the sun's out and you can smell the clippings, but there's no footy.
No, there's no footy, but you are looking fit. Certainly, you're getting the exercise in while we can. And so are you, Daisy Thomas, as we welcome you.
Yes, thank you, Joey. It's good. The weather makes you want to exercise, doesn't it? I've been doing my bit. Might have stumbled a little bit over the weekend enjoying myself and overindulging. Got caught up in finals footy. Obviously, Friday night, texting the boys and Maxi Gorn. We know how much he loves a dart, so I had a Cuban in his honour. It's a big commitment having a Cuban cigar just in honour of someone at three-quarter time.
It's not a bad idea at the time, is it? The next day is when the cigar goes, oh, that didn't go down too well.
When are you going to start yours, Joey?
Yeah, I'll start soon. Yeah. I've got to wait till footy season finishes. I have a bit less work and then I'll get into the exercise.
Shrunk into a block of flats, you have. Yeah.
Speaking of weather, we're going to welcome this man over in Perth who's now been allowed out. We're going to find out what the Perth nightlife's been all about.
But
Damo, how is the weather in Perth as we welcome you?
Well, Joey, it has been good, but I think... You three do like your weather stories. It's about to bucket down for 3, 4, maybe even 5 days. So it's good to get it out of the way before the following Saturday, which apparently the long-range forecasters are telling us it's looking nice for the big day.
Now, I've got a couple of mates over in Perth. They're actually a fair few, and they've seen you swanning around a little bit. Confirm or deny this. People have actually stopped you and are stopping you in the street requesting selfies.
Yeah, but I think he's Dan.
Daisy, your mail's right. It's almost got to the stage where I've got to get one of those supermarket deli style operations where they need to take a ticket.
and just so you know, how good is it to be recognised and be like now fit in with the three other blokes you work with who people know who they are?
I tell you what, they do like the Wednesday rub over here in Perth. I can vouch for that. They're liking the new mix on this one.
Tell you what I do like, and probably a little bit negative. We don't like to be negative, but I love it when someone's where you want to be because they're out of lockdown and you hear that it's going to be peeing down for the next 4 days.
Makes us feel slightly better.
Makes you just slightly better about your own situation. Yeah.
Probably just have to lock into a nice restaurant or pub instead.
I was going to say, it might force us inside, Duck, as opposed to outside.
What's it been like, Damo, to have a nice pot off the wood at a pub or something like that?
It's an amazing feeling, Joey. I actually had one of those last night, and the simple pleasures in life, which, you know, used to be common. Look, the Fremantle Dockers were gracious enough to have a few of us out last night. And you walk in, and there's people there, and you don't need to wear a mask. You don't even need to sign in. And I reckon if you wore a mask over here, you'd get in trouble because that's not what they do over here. And, yeah, it's just a completely different world. And you're right, that first sip of that first, off-the-tap one was magical.
Very nice.
Got freedom, no restrictions, and getting wined and dined.
It's pretty good life over there,
isn't it?
It's
not bad, is it?
It's worth it. It was worth the 14 days quarantine.
Yeah, well, it is. And look, the city itself, as much as I can tell, it is fully embracing of this game. The tickets sold out very quickly for both club allocations, and they didn't think they were going to, but they sold out within 4 hours on both for both clubs. So it's just a few general admission now, which will be snapped up when they officially go on sale.
Are you allowed to stay over there, Damo, after the GF, or do you got to come back?
I haven't gone that far, Duck, but as you know, being a family man and having left my wife and two sons, I'll be back as soon as possible.
Just a little cyclone could come through. You could get trapped, very easily trapped.
Yeah. Maybe down to Margaret River just in case to shelter down and bunker down.
Hey, we've got plenty on today's show. We've got plenty of footy news with Damo, particularly at Richmond and Carlton. Of course, the trade stuff everybody loves. We'll do the Duck Dive Quick Five, and we're going to take a look at the Brownlow medal. Ooh. And the boys and Daisy Thomas in particular has done plenty of homework on that. But before we get into all that, Daisy.
Daisy's hero of the round.
Yes, grand final week. And so often it's the heartbreak stories of grand final week. Who misses out? Who has an injury? Going with a slightly different one. A real feel-good story this week from the Western Bulldogs in Rourke Smith. This is a bloke. So he's had 7 consecutive one-year rookie deals since being drafted. Wow. He's played 36 games in those 7 years. He's had 2 ACL reconstructions. He's been delisted and re-rookied twice. And now he gets his opportunity on the biggest stage to play and potentially win a grand final. Just what a great story of persistence, sticking to it, believing in yourself. Obviously, the club as well believing in him. But that is a really good feel-good story for grand final week.
They believed in him, giving him 1 year each time. And
well, a lot of people get the old Tijuana.
No, it's not exactly a real belief, but I love it. I love it, Daisy.
Well, it sounds like you don't.
No, well, you know what? Persistence and perseverance knows no failure, and that's clearly what he's had through his whole career.
That's profound.
Yeah, it's a player that's done it the hard way, and hopefully he gets his just rewards next weekend. Hey, we won't really delve too deep in the grand final just yet. We'll keep our powder dry for next Wednesday. But after this, Damo, as always, you've got plenty of footy news coming up on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, of course, exclusive to the listener app as always. And Damo, time for your footy news.
Yeah, Joey, I think the biggest news for us today on this particular Wednesday is just the changing of the guard at certain clubs. And obviously we learnt yesterday officially, it had been in the offing for some time, that Trent Cotchin was considering his status as captain. He's now officially removed that title from his name. We then obviously then go to who's next. And I reckon we're going to have a captain for the first time in the history of the AFL who just doesn't do any media. But I actually reckon that's going to be the right call. I think it's Dusty's time now to add the captaincy to the responsibility that he's had for a long time already at that footy club. And you guys speak to the Richmond players. They think he's as equal to Trent Cotchin when it comes to the inner dynamics of that club's leadership dynamic. And I just think it's a perfect time to add that status to his role at that club. And I think it would cap off what's already been an all-time great AFL career.
Yeah, it's a hard one when you sit on the outside because we don't know how they go about their business, each to a man. But I think in terms of who deserves it, he probably deserves to be the captain of that footy club given what he's given them for a few years until they work out, you know, who's next.
Speak to players there, Days, at the club, and I know you do as well, but they, without even asking them questions about Dusty's leadership, it comes up in conversation, they volunteer it, and I think it's been quite profound as to how much love he has for the, not just the teammates, but the people they are, and I would think there's going to be some form of discussion internally for that to be the case. And as Duck said, does he want it? If he doesn't want it, there's no point giving it to him. But he's obviously got to be a little bit reflective at the moment, given he finished the season, unfortunately for him, with that injury. And he's got to recover from that properly football-wise. But I couldn't see why he wouldn't be. It wouldn't be put to him, but that could be the case.
The interesting one is that if it does get put to him, the commitments that he has to then say yes to, because obviously the captain, the media rights and the deals that the AFL does, if a leading network, say it's a Seven or a Foxtel, request you at certain times throughout the year, you have to say yes to that. And as a captain, there's a whole lot more of those obligations to fulfill each week on game day, things like that. So whether or not that's something that is a pure factor in why he says no, we'll have to wait and see, because as we all know, he hates doing media, he keeps to himself, he's very private. You sign up as captain of the Richmond Football Club, you have to expect at some level.
Do you have to?
Well, as I'm saying, the actual collective bargaining agreement says that you will be put forward at certain times throughout the week.
I think it's part of your obligation if you are the captain. So whether it's Captain's Day, speaking at functions, speaking to the media, and I think at his age, and we know that he doesn't want to do it, Damo, I can see him not doing the captaincy role for that reason, because I think, as you just stated, internally he's already a leader. He's already the spiritual leader. He's much loved. I think he can still have that role and have that leadership and have that impact on the group without the title of captain and all the responsibilities that come with it. I just think you let him be the way that he's been, still drive it internally, but not have that title to do all those extra responsibilities and obligations, I think, you have as captain. The one that I can see them handing over to...
Could they be dual captains and therefore... and I know they haven't done that for a while.
Why does he need the title of captain, Duck? Why doesn't he just still lead the way that he leads?
I think it's just an honour that he probably deserves, given what he's given the club. So there's a lot of dual captains. Yeah. You know, Nick Riewoldt started out as a dual captain.
As a young
dual captain.
Are you still going down the Jack Graham route?
I think they give it to Jack Graham. I think while they've got Jack Riewoldt playing and Trent Cotchin playing and Dustin's still there, I think it's handing the reins over now to Jack Graham, who they love internally. Third in their best and fairest this year. He's become a really important player. He uses leadership. He was captain as an under-18, I believe, at South Australia.
Who was second?
I think you give it to...
Who was second?
Dylan Grimes. I think it was Baker. Liam Baker was second. Dylan Grimes won it. So I think maybe it's time to give it to Jack Graham. Give it to the younger figure. They've still got the experience that he can lean on and, you know, doesn't have all the pressure on his shoulders. And he gets that 12, 18 months to sort of build into the role. And then he takes it away long term.
There's a couple of interesting captaincy scenarios. Scott Pendlebury's time at Collingwood, it may not be as similar as it was with Cotchin, and he may still want and harbour to be the skipper of the Magpies. But to me, there's a ready-made replacement there, provided he can get his body right. And that, to me, it's Taylor Adams. He just oozes that leader that I think would be a good person to have with this new changing of the guard at Collingwood, off-field, on-field, obviously, with the coaching appointment of Craig McRae. That's the way I would see that one, guys.
Yeah, he's an action sort of man, Taylor Adams. He'd be the one with that young group, follow me, sort of your Nick Maxwell mould. Obviously, probably a better player than Maxie, and Maxie wouldn't mind me saying that. But what I'm going to ask you to do, I would not do or request of myself. So I think he's a fantastic replacement. Obviously, Darcy Moore will probably always be in that conversation as well. So whether the time will come. For Pendles, no doubt, but that's a really good one, I think, ready-made.
And then Joey, you've also got the old upheaval, inverted commas anyway, at Geelong. So Stephen Hocking coming in, Brian Cook, I still expect to go to Carlton. We might touch on Carlton in a moment, but obviously Joel Selwood's been there a long time. It's 220 or thereabouts games as captain, as just pure captain. So Blitzarves is the one, I think, internally who could do it, but whether he's got the right public profile to do it. But I think it's another club, though, alongside Richmond and potentially Collingwood, that could be looking at that space as well. And just before I get your views on that, the assistant coaching ranks are going to be changed. We saw Matty Knights head across, or announce he will head across to West Coast. We also know that there's a lot of interest in Corey Enright, significant interest in Corey Enright. He's had 21 years effectively as a player and an assistant coach at that club, and I don't see him being there next year. And the other one, the unknown one, is Matty Scarlett's involvement too. Been an assistant coach there now since 2015, but some talk that he may, you know, choose to leave, as much as the club may choose to have a future without him being part of it for such a long time.
Just with that one, it's whether those players, Enright and Scarlett, want to actually move or relocate to Melbourne, because apparently they're really comfortable where they are down in Geelong. They love it where they live. All of a sudden, if you're coaching, depending on what club, it could be a fair trek, you know, back and forth when they've got that lifestyle, you know, living really close to the training venue they're at. I think just quickly, the Collingwood situation, I think it's the right time to hand over. I think with a new coach, rebuild, time for Pendlebury, who's been unbelievable, to maybe pass the reins on. For the Geelong one, I think maybe they go one more time with Joel Selwood. Okay. I think because they've got to go chips all in again next year with the list profile and the contract situations of most of those guys, maybe they have one last crack with Joel Selwood as captain and this playing group to somehow try and find another way to get past the preliminary final.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I agree with what you said during the week. I'd said it not long after or before they actually got knocked out. I thought they weren't out of the premiership window. Certainly got at least one more year in that window for me. And I agree, Selwood stay on. And Pendlebury, probably with Pendlebury, because Selwood had a whole year and Pendlebury didn't, that just tips it over the edge for me. That's why I think probably he passes it on.
Who's the next in line then at Geelong? So Blitzars doesn't get it. He's already 30.
You got a few. I think Blitzars, Stewart would be one.
Stewart's probably the one in the right age bracket. Because I think Blitzars is 30, so it would be a short-term captaincy role.
Yeah,
Tom Stewart's probably a good one. He's probably the one at that age profile and the standing that could do it.
There you go.
Damo, we'll just move on. Carlton, still plenty going on there. What's the latest?
I know we used the word mess already, but that just gets messier. And despite what they're saying about there being a plan behind it all, the fact that since we spoke last week, that one of the six people on the selection panel for the new coach has been sacked in the CEO, Kane Little. And that was after Kane Little had said to Luke Sayers, back me or sack me. He chose the latter. And that had been coming for some time. I do expect Brian Cook to play a role. Now, whether it's the official CEO role, Joey, I don't claim to know that part of it, but he's on the hook. Carlton people are telling other people that. Wouldn't be the first time, though, Brian Cook's spoken to a footy club. North Melbourne can attest to having him said he would take a role as CEO at one stage of their relatively recent future, and then he turned his back on that after accepting it verbally. So a bit to play out there. I don't have a read on the coaching situation, Joey, and I'm not afraid to say that, because you've got Diesel Williams making his own calls. You've got David Parkin also making his own calls, and then you've supposedly still got five members of that selection panel also doing what they were meant to do and do a process. So they're all over the place, and I don't expect it to be resolved anytime soon.
Anytime soon, there's a trade period and a draft period coming up. How do you go into that without a coach?
You say that. I go back, and I used to subscribe to that theory, Days, but I go back to 2014 when Ryan Griffin walked out of the Bulldogs. Sean Higgins decided to also walk out at the same time. They sacked Brendan McCartney. They had a trade period and a draft period before they officially had Luke Beveridge walk through the door. The next year, they lose an elimination final by a kick to Adelaide Crows, and the year after that, they win a flag. So as much as it does seem very unusual and very disruptive, if you get the right person in, you can turn it around really quickly.
Damo, just quickly, out of 100, what percentage chance do you think there still is of Alistair Clarkson coaching? Because the whispers won't go away. I'm still hearing that Carlton are believing, wait till the final series is done, give Clarko 5 or 6 weeks to be able to say, I've had some time off, I've watched the finals, and I feel like my interest is back. What percentage do you think there is of Clarko coaching? Is it 0, is it 10%, or is it 50%?
I don't know how to put a number on it, Joey. I don't want to evade the question. But what I will say is I'm hearing the same thing that you are, that it is not an impossibility. So whether that's 1%, I think if you're a Carlton supporter, you take the 1%. It's not 90, and it's not 1.
But, tell me there's a chance.
Just back to those Bulldogs. Did they have a CEO and a footy manager at the time when that was all happening?
Trying to work out what was going on back then. The CEO...
Because who's going to actually do the drafting?
Well, they've got the list manager still.
So you've got a list manager, but you don't have a CEO.
Yeah. Okay. Lastly, Damo, just quickly, some trade news. What's the latest? Because this is the silly season. There's always plenty of names that get thrown around.
Yeah, there are. Look, all the talk at this stage is that it's going to be historically a quieter period. Now, we've heard that before, and we've also then seen a flurry of activity. The COVID backdrop to this one, Joey, is one that I still feel could kick in. The Lachie Neale type of consideration to allow his wife to go back to where her family is from, the type of decision that Adam Chera has made to come back to Melbourne for those reasons.
Jordan Dawson.
I still feel...
Jordan Dawson.
Another perfect example. Yep. Another perfect example, yeah. So, and just on that too, I still feel there's a scenario where while Lachie Neale has said what he said publicly to put a line on the fact that he'll stay and honour his contract, I feel I know the way the trade period works. At some stage of the official opening of that window, that conversation is going to ramp up again. Now, whether it transpires that he chooses to leave, but it's going to be asked that question at least one more time, and quite possibly a dozen more times before the close of that period.
All right, very good, Damo. As always, in depth, we'll be across that. And again, next week, we'll have a chat more about some trade news. But after this, we know Daisy loves it. We're going to do a duck dive, quick five, and maybe fire one at Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app, and it's now time for this, Rabsy.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick five.
Duck, we'll start with this as we're on air just after midday on Wednesday. Tom Brown's tweeted that he believes Jeremy Finlayson has had a medical done at Port Adelaide. What are your first thoughts on that? Do the Power need Jeremy Finlayson?
First thoughts, no. Because of Marshall and Georgiadis, you'd say no. They don't need they've got two young key forwards there that you'd want to build a future around. So I would say no.
What about, though, Charlie Dixon? Because if you look at his last four finals, he's averaged one goal a game, 9 disposals and 3 marks in his last four finals. So there's been a lot of criticism about Gary Rowan and his performances in finals. Mm. What have you made of Charlie Dixon's last two final series?
Yeah, I think his year's been not anywhere near as good as the year prior. I think he still took the most contested marks in the competition, but by the way, that's not a lot these days. But he gets pushed under the ball far too easily for a really big guy. So whether he misjudges the footy, I'm not sure what that is, but that seems to be a real habit of his. And if he's to go to that next level and grab finals by the scruff of the neck and win a grand final for Port Adelaide, he has to get that out of his game.
Yeah, he is 30. He'll be 31 next year. Yeah. So you wonder whether his best football is in front of him or behind
him. Such a big presence when he's on. Mm. But when he's off, he's off.
Yeah. Hey, Damo, there's another one, Jeremy Finlayson, who's from South Australia. His partner just had a baby as well. So you would maybe believe without knowing that, again, that might be another COVID situation of trying to raise a young family with some family support, which, of course, I don't think you can ever judge any players for wanting to move to go home.
You can't at all. No.
Hey, Duck, talking of Port Adelaide, there's been a bit of talk about Ken Hinckley's role in their performance. What role do you put on the coach to be able to get the players to get their arousal levels up to perform in a first quarter? Is there any responsibility on coach? Is it all on the coach or is it all on the players?
That's all players for me. That is absolutely zero. None of that's on Ken Hinckley, as far as I'm concerned. That is the majority of that team going into a game thinking it was just going to happen and not having that hard edge that the Bulldogs had right from the start. And by the time they blinked and realised what was going on, it was game over. As simple as that. And there's nothing a coach can do about how you go in as an individual mentally preparing for a game.
Yeah, I agree. And I reckon if there was any signs in the rooms, that's when it would have been on the coach to pull them aside and give them a red hot rocket. I assume that wasn't the case. They presented like they were ready to go. Obviously, whatever they watched on the Friday night, which would have been the football, just crept into that psyche of theirs and they didn't fire a shot.
Ask the greatest coaches, some of the greatest coaches ever to coach, and they'll say to you, they've looked at groups. I'm sure Ross said this to you guys at different times, and Mick said, sometimes you look at the group and think, oh, they're just a little bit off. They're a little bit off today. And you go out and you kick 10 goals. And then other times it's the other way around. They find it very hard to read the group right before a game. So you can't put that on the coach.
What about, though, on the flip side? We're lauding Luke Beveridge for what he's been able to do with the Western Bulldogs group and to get them to a level where, despite all the roadblocks...
The world's against us.
Yeah. So isn't the coach having an influence in a positive way on the Western Bulldogs group?
Yeah, but the main part of that, I think, is from the players. I mean, what they had to put up with last week to go over there and have that steely resolve. And yes, it is the world against us. And Pago used to use that really well. I assume Ross did. Yeah. And I know Mick certainly used to use it as well. And that can help. But as you know, it's driven by the players. It really is.
Yep. Hey, last one for you, Duck, before we fire one at Damo.
Ooh.
Out of Geelong, Port Adelaide and Brisbane, who was the most disappointing team in this final series?
In the end...
Daisy, I'll get your take on this too.
Oh, that's a great question. It's a great question. I don't think Brisbane, because Brisbane just got beaten and probably could have or should have won that game. When you lose by a point, you're unlucky. Win, you're lucky. It's a tough one. Port Adelaide, geez, they were both terrible.
Do you want to have time to think about it?
Okay, I'm going to say Port.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because they had everything. They had everything their way. They were sleeping in their beds. They were going out. They were walking the dog. They were kicking the footy. They were throwing the frisbee.
Playing golf on their day off.
They were going for dinner. They were doing everything. And Geelong, well, they didn't have those same liberties. So in terms of having it all their own way, everything perfectly placed for them, it's Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Port as well. I think you give Brisbane out, especially late in the season with the injuries they had and the way that then changed the way they played their football. Geelong, obviously, I think they had a great season, but
and
they got sick as well. So there's a slight out for them. Port Adelaide to not fire a shot with the week off like they didn't was bitterly disappointing.
Sure about a virus, though, during these times.
Yeah. Hey, Damo, one for you. We saw during the week you've been spruiking Optus Stadium. Do you believe this Perth Grand Final will be a much, much better spectacle than anything we've seen at the MCG?
I do, Joey, and I base that on my one showing and viewing of that stadium in person last Friday night in the landslide Melbourne victory over the Cats. There's a vibe, there's a feel, there's a coming back of the sound over the top of the stadium back into the middle of it, and it disperses in a way that I haven't experienced in an AFL venue. I have had overseas football matches, Duck and Days and Joey, but not at the MCG. To me, just doesn't have that capacity to bring the sound back in the way this one does. And the light show they're going to put on, it's not for everyone, the light show, I get that. But if you're going to talk about a spectacle, it's going to be on. And I think we'll never look back from the capacity and the scope of what can happen at a grand final after what we see on Saturday, September 25.
Unfortunately, though, only 60,000 people are going to get to experience that. Everyone else at home Yeah. We don't get that, you know, inward sound. We don't get everything that you're talking about.
No, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I'm a big subscriber and believer now that it really should move around regardless of COVID. I reckon you identify a season 4 or 5 seasons out. And for instance, for this conversation, identify 2026. Give it to the Adelaide Oval to allow them to make that ground even better than and more beautiful than it already is. In 2031, the year before the Olympics in Brisbane, give it back to the Gabba. I know that's not going to happen because of this restrictive contract.
Start talking about that in 50-odd years, please.
Yeah, it's 2059. They've tacked on to that deal now. But I think what if there's one good thing about COVID, it's that. The scope to move games at short notice and to move big games. The Dreamtime game, Duck and Days and Joey, was phenomenal this year. And until we see what we're going to see on Saturday night, that's probably been the game highlight or the match-related highlight of the season.
I tell you what, the great thing about our game and the reason why it's the best game in the world is because the spectacle is our game. That's the spectacle. We don't need light shows. We don't need entertainment like the NFL need the halftime show. Like, you know, we can just get Snowy off the trams to sing a song every now and then. And the spectacle is our game.
Hey, Snowy's got one of the best rated songs.
Our game is the spectacle. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a ripper. Yep. Can't wait. I did watch Ed Sheeran there, Damo, when the stadium first opened. And
The acoustics are pretty good.
It was very good.
Very good.
And he just plays with the guitar. Just changes that over every day.
Yeah. As we said, we will delve into the grand final next week's show. We'll have a real deep dive on that one. But after this, we're going to take a look ahead to the Brownlow medal. And Daisy's going to give us all his studies on who's going to win the Brownlow.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub exclusive to the listener app. And before we go, we're just going to take a bit of a preview to the Brownlow medal. Daisy, this is your domain. How do you see this one unfolding?
Well, I think it was the great man to my left that said it's going to be a tie this year. I think for the first time in a long while, we could have a 2-3 or maybe even 4-way tie at the top that it will be decided in the last round of the season. I think Oliver gets the 3 votes in the last game of the year against Geelong, and I think that'll see him be up there with Jack Steele, obviously the Bont. Jack Steele, Oliver, Bont and Wines.
It does seem that way, that they're the 4 that can win it. Clayton Oliver, Bontempelli, Ollie Wines and Jack Steele. I did some study on Monday and we had a look through the Brownlow and tried to sort of work out how this one will pan out. I think Clayton Oliver is the biggest threat to Marcus Bontempelli. I think that if he can poll the 3 votes instead of Petrarca in a couple of games, I think Oliver could get up to 35 votes as a maximum and somewhere around 26 as a minimum. Bontempelli's a bit more, you know what he's going to get. He had 7 or 8 clear best on ground games. I think he'll get close to 30. So I think you need to be over 30, which I think Oliver is capable of doing. Ollie Wines is interesting. He's got a big scope duck between what he potentially could poll maximum and minimum. So there are games where he could get 3 votes or a game where he might get 1 vote or not poll at all, depending on how the umpires view it. So he's the one that's got the biggest scope to either finish with 22, 23 votes or finish on 34 votes.
I know you've got your notes in front of you.
Yep.
How many times, so those 4 players, I agree. So they're the 4. But how many times have they kicked multiple goals? I think as soon as any of those players kick 2 goals and have 25 plus, that's the 3 votes.
So Ollie Wines has only done it once.
Okay, so therefore that writes him out.
Bontempelli's the one that's kicked the most. He kicked the most goals of any midfielder this year without looking at how many times he kicked multiple goals.
You only
goals.
Need to have 25, 24, 25, 26 and kick 2 and you'll get the 3.
Yeah, well, Jack Steele, he hit the scoreboard a little bit early on, but not as much as the Bont. He had 25 disposals 18 or more times.
I've just talked myself into it. Bont wins.
Okay, well, there you go. The Ollie Wines one, just his numbers when you look at them. 2 times he had 43 disposals. He had 16 times over 30 disposals, 8 times over 35. He only had 1 game where he didn't have 25 or more disposals. That is huge numbers. For the size he did, the games that Port Adelaide won, I just expect him to be getting 3s and 2s, and a lot of them in the games where you probably don't expect because there was no one
who was
clearly better than him. The way they played, it was him or Travis Boak in the midfield. None of their forwards were really kicking bags. I think he's going to be the one for Port.
How many goals, Oliver?
He didn't kick a hole. He kicked 3 in 1 game.
Petrarca's the one for Oliver, and he'll obviously poll really well. But if Petrarca, who did hit the scoreboard, if he takes the threes and Oliver's only getting the twos, that's going to hurt
him. This is the slight concern for Clayton Oliver, is that last year, Petrarca polled in seven games. He polled 6-3 voters. So Petrarca might be the three-vote getter. Oliver might get the two. That might cost Oliver. Damo?
Forget about this year's Brownlow. I want to go back historically over the Brownlows that you guys could have won and didn't. And now I've done some research, and that research is on the back of basically a text that Rabsy sent me about 20 seconds ago, boys. So now, of the three of you who played footy at the highest level, and one of you was described as the best player in the comp there by Mick Malthouse back in, by Ross Lyon when he was playing for Mick Malthouse back in 2010-11. So the career votes for the three of you guys. Duck, 126. Joey, 106.
Daisy, 200.
Daisy, 21 at Collingwood, 2 at Carlton.
And I'll tell you why that is, Damo, because I used to give the umpires a fair odds, bro. And I told you this story. I obviously got fined once. I had to go see a counsellor to address how I spoke to the umpires. So anytime I speak about umpires, I had to use the word ref to disarm my head from going bunter and giving them both barrels. So that's why umpires have no idea. They're standing in the game. He's horseradish, and the Brownlow's a made-up award.
No, I was fairly verbal with the umpires too. And by the way, very embarrassed about it now, given the way the players treat and how they should treat the umpires. But to give you an example, Damo, I reckon there was a game, I don't know what year it was, but David King off a halfback flank had, I don't know, 28 or something, and took 8 bounces. I kicked 6 and had 28 possessions and took 14 marks and got the 2 votes and Kiki got the 3. That's when you know you're never going to win a Brownlow medal, when that happens, when a halfback flanker's getting votes and you're
fair
not.
Enough. I only had 47 in one day and only got the 2 votes as well. So I know what that feels like, Duck. It's happened to us all, mate. It's happened to us all. And I'm sure, Daisy, you had plenty of games.
I obviously had a lot more of those.
I'll tell you what is embarrassing, though, which none of you guys had. And that is when you roll up there in your tuxedo and the limo and your favourite and you don't get anywhere near 4 or 5 times and you just lose. Yeah. You lose all your confidence.
At least Daisy and I could go to a Brownlow knowing we could drink as much as we liked and we didn't have to worry about preparing any speeches or anything like that. So just before we go, wrapping up, Damo, who do you think will win the Brownlow medal?
I've loved the Bont since his second season of 2015. He could have won one before now, and I reckon this is the year that he will.
Three-way tie.
Bont, Oliver.
Bont, Oliver.
Wines or Steele?
And Steele.
Steele. You think Ollie Wines?
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
Four-way tie. Wines, Steele, Oliver and the Bont.
Ooh, that's good. I think
so you've just added one onto mine.
Yeah,
that's why it's a four-way tie, not a three-way tie. I didn't think that, I would have taken two off.
Daisy, I want to put this one. Can I get that as well? Here's the Oracle, me.
Oh.
Daisy Thomas is the Oracle.
Marcus Bontempelli will be leading going into the last round.
Yes.
Ooh.
Melbourne, 3 votes. C. Oliver, and he'll win it in the final round. He'll pit Marcus Bontempelli round 23. It'll be an amazing vote count.
Oh. What about everyone wants their Oracle things?
We'll be back next Wednesday for a massive, massive grand final edition of the Midweek Rub. But until then, you can catch up on all the best bits from Triple M Footy on the Listener app. Thanks for joining us again. We'll do it for the final time next Wednesday. We can't wait for the big grand final between the D's and the Dogs.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.